I know a psychologist who has a map of emotions in terms of where you are in your head, with your intentions, with your gut feelings. She put you on the map, trying to identify where you are, and then look at where you want to go. And then she has mapped out the steps from where you are to where you want to go. The Buddha has a similar map. What he calls the different types of joy, distress, and equanimity. There's householder joy, householder distress, householder equanimity. And then there's renunciate joy, renunciate distress, renunciate equanimity. Most of us, when we're coming to the path, start out with householder distress. Things in our lives, sights, sounds, smells, tastes, tactile sensations, ideas that have us upset. We're looking for a way out. Now, most people go for householder joy, householder equanimity. In other words, trying to find sights, sounds, smells, tastes, tactile sensations, or ideas that give refreshment to the mind, happiness to the mind. Or householder equanimity, looking for things that will calm you down in terms of those six senses. But the problem with the senses is they keep changing. What was joyful may turn into something else very quickly. So you find yourself back at the householder distress. When we come to the meditation, the Buddha says, okay, when there's householder distress, you go for renunciate distress. That's a step a lot of us like to skip. The distress there is realizing there's a goal that other people have attained. It is possible, but you're not there yet. And you think about all that needs to be done. And some people find this so discouraging that they go for a sort of halfway between householder and renunciate joy. Or equanimity. In other words, actually going back to the householder type, comforting themselves with the idea, well, maybe there's nothing to attain. Or if I try to have an attainment, I'm creating suffering for myself right now. So I'm getting upset over something I can't see, so I might as well learn how to accept the way things are. You try to anesthetize yourself to the distress. And you're not in a very calm state, but again, it isn't solidly based. It needs constantly shoring up. You see this in the people who say there's nothing to attain, or the idea of attainment gets you upset, so why bother with it? Just be okay in the present moment. But again, it easily slips back to the distress. It doesn't get you out. The way out is to focus on that renunciate distress as a motivating factor, like the string on the bow of an arrow. You pull it back, there's more tension, but then when you release the arrow, it goes far. If you don't pull the string back, or if you don't even string the bow, the arrow's not going to go any place. It's only when you have a sense that there is a goal, and you're not there yet, that you look at yourself and try to figure out what's getting in the way. What attitudes do I have that I've got to change? And how is the best way to change them? What strengths do I have? And how can I take advantage of them? In other words, you have to learn how to think strategically. The Buddha calls this having a sense of yourself, where your strengths are, where your weaknesses are. And it's an important part of the path. the important part of renunciate distress is that it's encouraging. Remember, part of that phrase that you're supposed to run through your mind is, there is this attainment that other people have made, or other people have attained. That gives you hope. Household distress is pretty hopeless. If you want household joy, household equanimity, but you keep seeing it fall apart, it gets very discouraging. You look at the human race and see how it behaves when things get difficult, and very often it's not a pretty sight. But renunciate distress focuses you in a different direction, at the people who have attained awakening. They are noble people. I was reading yesterday about how the idea that there is an attainment that you can attain that gets you out of this up and down of household distress and household joy is a selfish idea that devalues the world and gets in the way of social progress. Well, there's no way you're going to attain awakening by being selfish. It requires generosity. It requires virtue. And these things set a good example in the world. It's those people who've attained the goal of the renunciate life, whether they're monastics or lay people, who shine a light in the world. And so it is possible for a human being to pursue a noble goal and behave in a noble way. Leave behind gifts. In other words, the gifts of generosity, the gifts of a good example, the gifts of the teaching. That are inspiring and encouraging to others. So it's important to have a healthy relationship to renunciate distress. To realize we're not here just to be okay in the present moment. To not take household equanimity and dress it up as more than it is. Renunciate distress is not meant to discourage you, it's meant to encourage you that there is a way out. And that people who followed the way out had qualities that you have in a potential form. The Buddha said, heedfulness, ardency, resolution. Those are the qualities that he developed. And you look at the texts, you see other people were able to develop them as well. You know people in your own life who have developed them to at least some extent. You have them within you. Heedfulness is the most basic of the three. Sometimes the word upamada is translated as diligence, but it's more than just diligence. It's having a very strong sense that your actions will make a difference, and you really do want to avoid causing harm to yourself and other people. Based on that, you're ardent. You give rise to the desire to carry through with that. All of these are actually based on desire. Heedfulness is based on the desire to avoid harm. Ardency is based on the desire to make the most of what opportunities you have right now. Resolution is based on the desire to stick with it and see it all the way through. So think of things you've done in life where you've had to see it all the way through. And you realize, okay, it required some heedfulness, it required some ardency, it required some resolution. You've got these qualities in a potential form. You've used them in other aspects of your life. Bring them to the meditation. Look at it as a challenge. It's going to require that you figure things out. It's going to require all the capacities of the mind. We're not dulling the mind. We're not performing a lobotomy. We're not saying that thinking is bad. think I've told you that story, that one teacher in France who was talking about how the practice is all about just learning how there really is nothing you can do to change the way things are, so you just go with the flow. She was being interviewed, and the woman interviewer asked her, wasn't that defeatist? Isn't that? Isn't that pessimistic? And the teacher said, only if you think about it, as if that somehow solved the problem. Just don't think. The Buddha was a thinker. He thought things through. And he's teaching us to think. Use all of our capacities to figure out this problem we have inside. Why it is that we want happiness, but we're causing ourselves suffering. We feed on things, and we think that feeding is going to give us happiness, and then we find that we're suffering because we feed. How do we feed in a way that gets us on the path to a place where we don't have to feed? That's a challenge. But it's a good challenge. Wouldn't it be good to live in a world where you didn't have to depend on unstable conditions for your happiness? Wouldn't it be good to have a happiness that was totally secure and totally harmless? Well, renunciate distress tells us that is a possibility. You're not there yet, but it is a possibility. It can be done. To learn how to see renunciate distress is a good thing, as encouragement, as a necessary step. You cannot bypass this step. Some people want to go straight from household distress to renunciate joy, renunciate equanimity. But they end up, as I said, with basically a pale imitation. A nice harmless form of household joy, harmless equanimity, but it's not really harmless, it harms them. Because they're not allowing them to think outside the box, think of something better. So they fall back to the old ways. But renunciate distress will take you out of your old ways. But the rewards are great. So whatever the difficulties, remember, they're worth it. More than worth it, the Buddha said. So give his promise a chance. Try it out, because otherwise you know where you're going to stay if you don't. That possibility of an open door is something you always want to leave open. Don't close the door against yourself.